From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in. Wild king salmon sport fishing regulations for 2026 took effect across Southeast Alaska today. In most inside waters of the Northern Panhandle, including Juneau, the season opens June 15th. Daniel Teske is the Juneau Area Management Biologist for Sport Fisheries at the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. He says regulations for kings, also called Chinook salmon, haven't changed much this year.
It's pretty much the same thing as last year, except the Upper Taku Inlet is going to be open a couple weeks earlier because things have been looking good in terms of forecasted returns and recent returns.
He says the department projects around 33,000 king salmon will return to spawn in the Taku River Inlet this year. Teske says the 2025 return was one of the largest the department had seen in the area in close to 20 years, at more than 40,000 fish, and that's a sign that longer closures the department imposed in past years have been working. When wild king fishing opens June 15th, Alaska residents can keep two fish of 28 inches or longer per day. Keeping wild king salmon is prohibited from April 1st, today, through June 14th. That restriction is the same as last year, and Teske says it's meant to keep the population on an upward trend.
Wild stocks, although they've been improving, we still want to provide some protections as they transit through the salt waters back to their home rivers.
The other closure in the Northern Panhandle is the northern section of Seymour Canal on Admiralty Island from April 1st to July 31st. Teske says hatchery king fishing will be open from June 1st to August 31st. DIPAC, the hatchery in Juneau, typically releases kings in Lena Cove, Auk Bay, Fish Creek Pond, and Gatineau Channel. Specific hatchery king salmon regulations haven't been announced for the Juneau area yet. Find regulation updates on the Fish and Game website. Around 25,000 Alaskans lost all or part of their health insurance subsidies in 2026 due to the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. That left many with skyrocketing health insurance costs, and enrollment in healthcare.gov declined by about 10%. Others are likely to lose Medicaid in the coming years due to new work requirements. So Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra dug into options for getting affordable healthcare without insurance.
Having thousands more uninsured Alaskans can spell financial disaster for individuals, families, and the state. One main reason is that when people are uninsured, they tend not to get care until it's a true emergency. Jared Kosin, who heads the Alaska Hospital and Healthcare Association, says people often end up in the ER.
I mean, that's the most expensive place to get healthcare in the entire healthcare system.
ERs have to provide medical care even if people can't pay their bills, and that drives up healthcare costs for everyone. So I wanted to find out what kinds of options are available to Alaskans without insurance, especially for preventative care that could prevent high bills, heartache, and trips to the ER. Experts like Kosin were hesitant to even talk about non-insurance options. He wants to find more ways Alaskans can be covered. But he suggested that if people are stressed out about accessing care, they can reach out to their provider.
Ask them directly if they have any suggestions and see if they can come up with anything. And you know, I know in the hospitals we have charity care programs.
He says some doctor's offices also have charity programs. And some clinics offer free or sliding scale care. There are four other health insurance alternatives accessible for most Alaskans, some of which are newly allowed in the state. The first are healthcare sharing ministries. They're faith-based organizations where members share healthcare costs. But as the Alaska Division of Insurance points out on their website, these organizations don't have to follow health insurance regulations. And there's no legal requirement for them to cover health costs for members. The second option is memberships with primary care provider clinics.
It covers their annual exams that they have, all their annual lab work, their annual flu shot, pneumonia vaccines, those kind of things that people need.
That's Cindy Alkier at Arete Family Care in Anchorage, which offers a direct primary care membership.
And then we also allow three other visits per year, sick visits for things that are going on or chronic conditions.
The plans are affordable compared to most health insurance. For adults under 45, it's $125 a month, and it's $90 a month for kids, including childhood vaccines. There are several clinics in Alaska offering memberships like this, but the plans don't cover things like x-rays, hospital visits, or some expensive medications. The third option is health discount plans. You may have heard of GoodRx, which is a free prescription discount plan, but there are also paid discount plans for dental care and vision, hearing aids, lab work, and less commonly, healthcare. They're nothing like health insurance, but they can make it cheaper to pay out of pocket. And if the worst happens, there's a fourth option. It's a safety net program that can get people free care for complex medical needs. Melinda Freeman is executive director of Anchorage Project Access.
We provide specialty medical, dental, and mental health care that's provided for people who are unable to access care, this type of care, through their primary care doctors.
It's free and includes complex care like cancer treatment or surgeries. It's available to uninsured people or those awaiting enrollment for Medicaid. But it requires treatment in Anchorage and a healthcare provider referral. Although people can refer themselves for dental care and mental health care programs. In Anchorage, I'm Rachel Cassandra.
And if the United Nations had a house band in the 1960s is the tagline for Pink Martini, a band from Portland, Oregon that will play in Sitka and Juneau in a couple weeks. The series of concerts will benefit the same group that brought Portugal the Man to Southeast last year, with funds going toward rebuilding a Tlingit clan house in Sitka. KCW's Catherine Rose reports.
In the mid-90s, there was a campaign to amend the Oregon Constitution that sought to restrict gay rights. Thomas Lauderdale, a young political activist and pianist, was fighting against it, and music was the means. Lauderdale reached out to the Del Rubio triplets after seeing them on the star-studded Pee Wee's Playhouse Christmas special.
You keep saying you got something for me.
They lived in a triple-wide mobile home in San Pedro, California. They wore matching miniskirts, matching booties, and they had huge hair, and they played guitar, and they sang covers of Walk Like an Egyptian and Whip It.
He brought them to Portland, Oregon, to do a series of concerts campaigning against the ballot measure in nursing homes, hospitals, even rotary meetings.
And at the end of their set, they would very sweetly say, please vote no on Measure 13.
At the end of the triplets' week on tour, Lauderdale had planned a community-wide concert, but he needed an opening act. So he says he threw on a Betsy Johnson cocktail dress, hopped on stage, and Pink Martini was born. Growing to over a dozen musicians, they became the house band for political fundraising in Portland, and soon an internationally renowned, genre-defying group.
Somebody told me I don't know who, whenever you are sad and blue, and you're feeling all alone and left behind, just take a look inside you and you'll find.
And now, Pink Martini will travel to Sitka and Juneau in April for two benefit concerts for Cat Leanne Collective, a nonprofit working to revitalize Tlingit clan houses in Southeast, starting with the Point House in Sitka. Clan houses are cultural centers for Tlingit people, places of ritual, community, and tradition. It's a project that Pink Martini is happy to support. The band, known as the Little Orchestra, performs in numerous styles, from jazz to classical to pop, and in over 30 different languages.
We're sort of musical diplomats and ambassadors, and we sort of believe in the power of bringing people together through music. We have a 31-year history of doing this, and we're so delighted to be coming to Alaska to be continuing in that tradition.
The shore, hold me close, sway me more.
Storm Large is one of the band's lead singers, and this will be her second time touring in Alaska with them. She says often a band's lead singer is the mouthpiece that carries its identity, but Pink Martini is different.
It's like Laugh-In, kind of. It's a big variety show, and everybody has an important role in unison. But I see Pink Martini as a collective of wonderful, amazing, brilliant stars in their own right.
My name is Jericho Blang. My Tlingit name is Srutin, and I am of the Raven Moiety Kiksati clan from Sitka, Alaska.
Hope Lang says the work to rebuild the clan house started from a conversation with the late Bertha Karras.
We walked by this chunk of property on our way to her house, and she said to me, just casually, that's your people's property and you need to get it back. At the time, I really had no idea or no concept as to what tied me to that land and what her impression was that I had any business being a part of it. So kind of led me down a rabbit hole to understanding what had been there prior.
What came next was over a decade of work toward repatriating the land where the Point House stood. Hope Lang now stewards the land on behalf of the Kiksati. They hope to break ground on a 21st century clan house sometime in the next year.
And so to honor the property, I said, we need to rebuild. Not just structurally, because this is a brick and mortar project, but we need to rebuild spiritually. And there's ideas that tie to that property that I just felt like the time was ripe.
The group has received federal grant funding for their work and succeeded in getting the National Trust for Historic Preservation to recognize Sitka's Indian Village as an endangered historic place. They're also remodeling a 19th century Kiksati clan house 4 doors down from the Point House. Hope Lang says fundraising is key to keep the work going. Last year, Catlian Collective brought several bands, including Portugal the Man, to Southeast, and the concert was a resounding success. So he reached out to his longtime friend Lauderdale with Pink Martini, who jumped on board.
This year, bringing Pink Martini into the fold, it really creates this open dialogue of like, we are inviting you. The purchasing of a ticket is an invitation to be a guest in our process. You could be part of this restoration, this regeneration, this restorative practice.
Hope Lang says Pink Martini's music encompasses the name of the show, which is Hitwushde Yada Kitscht, or Dancing Our House Together. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
And as for the weather, it's 44 degrees and very sunny right now in Juneau. Tonight, it's supposed to dip down to 24 degrees. Tomorrow looks like it'll be sunny as well, but there's a chance of snow returning tomorrow night. This is KTOO.